Chavez. Ruben Nava. And Jesse Romero. Jesus 911.
Colt Patrol, Jesus 911. Two-man car. Well, a male and a female car. My name is Jesse Romero. I'm here with my wife, Anita Romero. Good morning, Anita.
Good morning, honey, and good morning to the VMP listeners. It's so exciting to be here with you again. And we got a great show.
Let me tell them about the show. By the way, my wife qualifies as a first responder. She's a retired nurse. She used to work the jails in L.A. County. So she's definitely knows what it means to see exigent circumstances. So you got two first responders here. Today's show is going to be very practical, especially for couples, because what we're going to do, we're going to look at the book of Tobit. Now, if you're a Protestant, I'm sorry, you don't have that book in your Bible. The book of Tobit has 14 chapters. It's a short little book in the Old Testament. In fact, Tobit is known, he's called the righteous man. He's known like as a Saint Joseph of the Old Testament. So we're going to look at the book of Tobit. And we're going to draw several implications from that book. Number one, there's a whole lot of spiritual warfare in there. And again, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, nothing's going to change. We're going to continue talking about spiritual warfare from a Catholic perspective. And the book of Tobit also shows the power of the sacrament of matrimony, of holy matrimony, to drive out the diabolical. So I think you're going to get a whole lot of in fact, I know most of you are going to say, wow, I never heard this before about marriage and the diabolical, the power that marriage has. If you like the show, you're definitely going to like it. Like us on Facebook. Send it out to people on your social media. This is going to be a show that you're going to want to get to every single married couple out there. So, Anita, give us an overview, a summary of the book of Tobit before we go into the spiritual warfare aspects of it.
Okay, but before we start, we got to pray, right?
That's right?
Yeah, that's first and foremost for our protection and for those that are listening.
We're going to pray the St. Michael the Archangel prayer. And don't worry, by the next show, I'm going to have it up on the screen in Latin because we're going to do it in Latin. It's just good to recall the language of Holy Mother Church, okay?
And we start with the sign of our faith.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Santi Michele Arcangele, defendenos in praelio, contra nequitiam et insidious diaboli est opresidium. Imperet ili Deus supplices te precamur tuque, princeps militiae celestis, satanam aliosque, spiritus malignus, quiad perditionem animam peruntur in mundo, divina virtute, in infernum de trude. Amen.
In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
And don't forget to do your daily spiritual communion prayer. Right now that, you know, that we haven't been able to go to Holy Mass, a lot of people. In fact, that we should just do it together just to prep the audience.
Absolutely. Yep. Let's do that. I think for those that are accustomed to going to daily Mass, this is something that I'm sure we all miss. I especially myself, I miss it. So I make sure that's one of my prayers. So let's go and pray.
My Jesus,
I believe that thou art present in the most blessed sacrament. I love thee above all things, and I desire to possess thee within my soul. Since I'm unable now to receive thee sacramentally, come at least spiritually into my heart. I embrace thee, being already there, and unite myself wholly and entirely to thee. Amen.
Okay, give me a summary of the book of Tobit, Anita, and let's start.
Okay, here we go. Summary of the book of Tobit. Tobit is a pious Jew who was deported from Israel to Nineveh in Assyria after the fall of Samaria in 722 BC. There he persecuted for practicing the good works of a pious man, such as burying the dead. One night he returns home after burying a dead man and cannot enter the house because he is unclean. So he sleeps outside against the wall of the house. Bird droppings fall on his eyes and he is blinded. He accepts this in patience. At the same time, far away in Akhbatana in Persia, Sarah, a young relative, is afflicted by the demon Asmodeus, who we reject, rebuke, and renounce in Jesus' name, who causes the death of seven husbands in a row. Like Tobit, she prays that God will take her life from her. Thinking he will die soon, Tobit sends his son, Tobias, to collect a debt from his kinsman, Gabael, which he intends to give to his son as his inheritance. Tobias meets the angel, Raphael, whom he thinks is his cousin, Azarias, and Raphael agrees to accompany him on a journey to Rajus. Tobias catches a big fish, and Raphael tells him how to use the fish to cure both Sarah and Tobit, his father. Tobias falls in love with Sarah, marries her, drives out the demon, then he returns home and cures his father's blindness with the gall of the fish. Raphael reveals who he is and refuses any reward. Tobit sings a song of praise and thanksgiving to God and prophesizes a glorious future for Jerusalem.
There's a whole lot of spiritual warfare stuff here that we're going to just point out to you. Again, you'll see that one of the things that's critically important to defend yourself and to drive out the diabolical from your household, from your person, from your family, is you have to be a righteous person. What does that mean? In Catholicism, it means living in a state of grace, living in a right relationship with God. And I say this because I get so many emails about people, Jess, I'm hearing noises in my house. Things are moving. Things are clanging at night. I hear footsteps. And then I just ask a simple question. I say, are you guys going to Mass every Sunday? No, you know, like, yeah, I probably go about, you know, half the time I go to Mass, or, you know, maybe two or three times a month. I said, well, first of all, you're in mortal sin. Mortal sin opens the door to the diabolical. So what do we want to do as Catholics? We want to be like Tobias, righteous men. And one of the ways to be a righteous man and a righteous woman is, number one, you give God what he's due. What does God do? Our worship. Our worship. Okay? Every Sunday for the rest of our life, just like the third commandment says. Anita, what are some of the principles of spiritual warfare for the audience that jump out at you that you want to point out?
First of all, there you have Sarah. You have Sarah who's who they say is afflicted. They don't really say, I don't see, and it says where she's, how she became afflicted. Doesn't say that. But apparently she's a woman of virtue. She has not known man, according to the biblical contents of the Bible. And also, she wants to fulfill her vocation as a woman, to be married, to bear children, and that's her goal as a woman.
Here's another thing that I'll point out. It's funny, as we're going to go through the story, she's married to seven men, and the demon kills each man on the wedding night before the marriage is consummated. That's, again, we would call that physical attacks. That's called diabolical oppression. And something else very interesting, again, this is very important, and the Bible, and this story bears it out, is that the family is protected or not protected through the man. I'm just guessing, and I'm just reading into it from theology and from spiritual warfare, that the seven men that she was married to, or she was going to marry, weren't men, were not righteous men like Tobias. They were not men, like Tobit, excuse me. They were not righteous men. They were not men living in a state of grace. And who knows, maybe even God was protecting her from entering into this these unholy alliances and matrimony. And these weren't the men that God had destined for this righteous woman, this pious woman. And so it wasn't until the right person, Tobit, came into her life that God basically afforded her the protection, and she was not, and the demon was driven out from the house and from the bedroom and from the marriage. Let's look at some of the theology, Anita, the theology of the book of Tobit.
Yeah, I just want to mention one thing. In this story, there's two issues going on here. You have Tobit, the father Tobias, who is experiencing an affliction through blindness, and then you have Sarah, who's experienced affliction. So both of these are, and they're petitioning to God at the same time. So this is interesting how you're going to see how that comes together. So here we go.
Yeah, good point. So the dad is going through this physical diabolical affliction, blindness. It could be what's called diabolical oppression. Demons are able to, with divine permission, they're able to physically oftentimes cause sickness or illness. And then Sarah, this holy woman, is going through obsession. She's going through these torments. Well, it doesn't really say exactly what type of affliction, but she's also being afflicted by this demon, Asmodeus, who we reject, rebuke, and renounce in Jesus' name. We're going to give you a little bit of the theology of the book of Tobit as we start extrapolating the spiritual warfare verses. You're listening to Jesus 911. I'm here with my wife, Anita, two-man car. And I use man in the generic sense, okay, mankind. And I'm a retired cop. My wife's a retired nurse, so I guess that still makes us first responders. But what's more important than anything, we want to teach people how to be first responders for Jesus Christ. Remember, because the Catholic Church has been called the hospital for sinners. And we're trying to give the medicine of the Catholic Church, which is the proper teachings of spiritual warfare, rooted in 2,000 years of Catholic teaching. And so, again, if you like what you're listening to, like us on Facebook and subscribe to this show and send it out to people in your social media. How many people out there need to hear the Catholic principles of spiritual warfare? Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Book of Tobit.
In Luke 7, Jesus said, "I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven her, because she has been shown great love." According to St. John of the Cross, Christians should always remember that the value of their good works is not based on number and excellence. Their value is based on the love for God that prompts them to do the works. May we always be motivated by true love for God, and not worry so much about what we do, but why we do it.
Baby move in your tummy?
How does the baby eat?
Can the baby hear me?
How did the baby get in there?
Wow, a pregnancy can sure generate a lot of questions, but what's important is that a baby is a baby, inside and out of the womb, not just after birth, but 9 months before, at conception.
That's right. Every baby is a miracle. Hello, my name is Marianne Kuharski. I'm the director of Pro-Life Across America. If you know someone who is pregnant or in need of alternatives or assistance or would like to support the work of Pro-Life Across America, please visit our website at prolifeacrossamerica.org or better yet, simply dial #250 on your cell phone and say the keyword pro-life. Pro-Life Across America is non-political and totally educational.
A baby's heart is beating 18 days from conception.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow, that's 80%. RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Soul Patrol, Jesus 911. We're talking about Catholic spiritual warfare with my wife. My wife's a retired nurse, Los Angeles County. I'm a retired Los Angeles deputy sheriff, but for many years now, we've been just traveling around the country and preaching the Catholic gospel and trying to give people inspiration to be holy or to die trying. And right now, we're going through the book, The Book of Tobit has 14 chapters. It's a spiritual warfare book. It's not in Protestant Bibles. And we're going to start going specifically right now through the theology and the chapters that talk about the spiritual warfare components in the Book of Tobit. It's not in Protestant Bibles. Anita?
Yes. Before I begin, I just wanted to mention, you know, we mentioned Raphael playing a role in this book. He is one of the three archangels that are mentioned in Scripture. And he's actually the patron saint of healing, marriage. So he's got a lot of roles for us. And as us Catholics, it's really important that we include an intercession of them for issues that are happening, or just on a daily, just Raphael, you know, cover my marriage, cover my children's marriage. It's really important that we call on our angels, our guardian angels, and the archangels on a daily basis.
By the way, like last night, my grandson was stung by a wasp. I felt so bad. My daughter had to take him to the urgent care with my wife. I felt bad because, you know, I'm the grandpa. I should have been able to protect my grandson. So what did I do? Immediately as they left, I started praying to St. Raphael for healing. And apparently he's fine this morning and he hasn't had any reactions. But again, this is important. As Catholics, the intercession of our archangels is an important... And he's also powerful against demons, as we're going to see in this book. So let's go through the theology of the Book of Tobit.
Okay, so we begin. The book offers an advanced angelology, more developed than anything previously found in the Old Testament. Here we meet a devil, Asmodeus, who we rebuke, reject, and renounce in Jesus' name, who harass human beings, and a good angel, Raphael, who guides, protects, and assists Tobias. Both are presented as personal beings and not just as impersonal extensions of the power of God. The Book of Tobit is not quoted explicitly in the New Testament, but the man Tobit exemplifies the manner of life typical of the just who depend on the Lord to meet all their needs. In this sense, he is a precursor of Zechariah and Elizabeth, of Simeon and Anna, and also of Saint Joseph. Some of Tobit's instructions to his son about charity and almsgiving were taken up later by Jesus and developed further. Tobit begins a tradition that later develops into the Golden Rule when he says to his son, "And what you hate, do not do to anyone." You can see that in Matthew 7:12.
And also in Tobit chapter 4, verse 15. So some of the principles, yeah, this is advanced angelology. Catholics understand this. This is why we have devotions to St. Michael, St. Gabriel, St. Raphael, these three archangels that are mentioned in Scripture. And again, what do we know about Tobit? He's a just man. That means a state of grace. Remember that. We're always saying that in this show. A man who lives in a state of grace. He's a precursor to all these other people in the New Testament that are called righteous people. Zechariah, Elizabeth, Simeon, Anna, Joseph. They're all called in the Bible righteous people. These are people that walk with God, people that keep the commandments. And that's our goal as Catholics, is to be righteous, not unrighteous, and to live in a state of grace. And again, the Book of Tobit, to show you the powerful effect it had on the New Testament, as my wife just shared with you, the golden rule that our Lord Jesus Christ mentions in Matthew's gospel, it was first enunciated by Tobit in this little small book in the Old Testament. So let's get right now into, because this is a spiritual warfare show and people are going to want to see, okay, give us a spiritual warfare. Remember, there's 14 chapters. The first one is in chapter 3. We're going to start drawing out the spiritual warfare implications.
We're going to begin with chapters, verse 7, in chapter 3, where Sarah is falsely accused. Okay, we begin. On that day at Ecbatana in Media, it so happened that Ragel's daughter, that Ragel is Sarah's father, also had to listen to reproaches from one of her father's maids. Verse 8, for she had been given in marriage to seven husbands, but the wicked demon Asmodeus,
who reject and renounce and rebuke in Jesus' name,
kept killing them off before they could have intercourse with her, as prescribed for wives. The maid said to her, "You are the one who kills your husbands. Look, you have already been given in marriage to seven husbands, but you do not bear the name of a single one of them. Why do you beat us? Because your husbands are dead? Go join them. May we never see your son or daughter of yours. So here we see this maid just belittling her, just insulting her. And this is what we call, per Liber Christo, the freedom through Christ, they describe it as a talking snake. Just remember in Genesis where the snake is talking to Eve and just putting thoughts in her mind and persuading her to eat of the apple and to be like God. So there, that's the same thing. That's similar. When you have someone that's saying things to you or talking about somebody else to convince you to see their way, you would call that the talking snake.
Very important right here, this whole talking snake principle. This is why as Catholics it's very difficult. And it's difficult. We have to watch what comes out of our mouth because venom could come out of our mouth, it says in the book of James. Somebody who's constantly slandering, calumny, constantly has a hypercritical spirit about everything. That's what, you know, Father Ripperger, he calls that the talking snake. You got to watch out for people like that. You get together with certain people and it's always negative, always bad, always, calumny and just berating other people. I mean, talking snake, just to be like listening to a lot of the stuff on the mainstream media. I'm like saying, again? I mean, just this nonstop loop about talking about President Trump, for example. So that's what's happening here with Sarah. This maid is just telling her about how bad she is. So this is an emissary of Satan. This is called the talking snake syndrome. But let's continue on with the scripture. We're on chapter 3 of the book of Tobit, and we're drawing out the spiritual warfare implications.
And I think a lot of us fall into that. And I think that's why confession is a gift to us from the Catholic Church. So it's important because we all fall into it throughout the day for some reason or another because we get this talking snake in our mind, and there we go. We vomit it out. So there you go. Yeah. So here we go. Verse 10. That day Sarah was sad at her heart. She went in tears to an upstairs bedroom in her father's house and wanted to hang herself.
Wow.
But she Okay, right there, she wanted to hang herself. That's obsession. You know, that's where we start. When we start thinking, wow, I am no good. This talking snake, this maid really got to her. Because she's already considering in her mind, I think I want to hang myself. So that's why it's so important to really gauge prayer life to be strong and just watch what we say to other people. It affects them.
This is known as diabolical obsession, what just happened here to Sarah. She wants to hang herself. That's the goal of demons. They want you to kill yourself. They want you to commit suicide. They drive you to that point. How? Because they communicate in a constant loop to your mind nonstop, an incessant loop. You're stupid. You're ignorant. You're dumb. You're worthless. It's also called demonic thought tampering. It's called, again, obsession, these mental attacks. This is what's happening in the story. She's being mentally attacked by this demon that I don't want to mention his name. They're driving her to suicide because this talking snake, this maid, is telling her, you're so wicked, you're so unrighteous that every time you're about to get married and become intimate with your husband on the wedding night, the demon kills your husband because of you, because of your wickedness. And so she's starting to believe it, obviously. If she wants to kill herself, this maid of hers is having an effect on her. The devil's using this maid as, again, a talking snake, and she's starting to buy into this. Let's continue reading what the scripture says on chapter 3 of Tobit.
Okay, we're going to continue verse 10. But she reconsidered, saying to herself, no, may people never reproach my father and say to him, quote, you had only one beloved daughter, but she hanged herself because of her misfortune. And thus would I bring my father laden with sorrow in his old age to Hades. It is far better for me not to hang myself, but to beg the Lord that I might die and no longer have to listen to such reproaches in my life. So she's already starting to fall into depression right there. She's falling into depression. That's where the obsession comes in. And she's really just down. What's wrong with me? Why can't I, you know, why does a husband die before, you know, my wedding night? All these things are just going through her head. I mean, how many of us would think the same thing? Absolutely, we would. So
now we move on to Sarah's prayer for death. And, you know, as Catholics, it is rooted in Catholic tradition to pray for a happy, holy death. That's very Catholic, by the way. People say, don't pray for a death. You're wrong. It's Catholic to pray for a happy, holy death. In fact, every time you say a Hail Mary, you end the Hail Mary asking Mary to protect you so you could have a happy, holy death. So Sarah now, when the demons are attacking your mind, as they teach in Liber Christi, you got to go into prayer mode, because prayer now takes custody of your thoughts, because you're now filling your thoughts with doctrine and dogmas of the church. So you're taking custody of your intellect as it's being attacked by the demon. So Sarah goes into prayer mode. And what does she say? I need to take custody of her thoughts, of her intellect, and to snap her lower faculties back into order, because the demon's trying to disorder her emotions. Kill yourself, kill yourself. So Sarah, through prayer, Sarah snaps her lower faculties back into place and takes charge of her mind, custody of her intellect through prayer. What does she say?
She begins with this, and I want to mention also, so that's why it's important for us as Catholics to have a prayer life and discipline, because you can break through this. All those that are suffering from this in one way or another, sometimes very, very minimal, or, you know, very critical. You know, if you have a prayer life, you can break through this, because what is prayer and every day? It's called discipline. What is discipline? You're always going to think of discipline as love, because you love Jesus. You're going to be disciplined to pray for him. That's speaking to our Lord on a daily basis, acknowledging him and worshiping him. And he, you're in control of my life. I love you. So that's important for all of us, that we are disciplined in our prayer life every day. Because why? You always think of that word discipline? Because of love. Okay?
Let me mention one thing about discipline. It's a synonym for order. And remember what Father Ripperger always teaches. Demons fear order. Demons like disorder. Prayer brings you intellectual order, and it also orders your lower faculty. You're listening to Jesus 911. You got a couple and wife team giving you Catholic spiritual warfare. We're going through the Book of Tobit and drawing out the spiritual warfare implications. This is good stuff. This is red meat Catholicism. We'll be right back. Hi, this is Jesse Romero from the Terry and Jesse Show, also from Jesus 911. Let's face it, we all need to use the internet, but we need screen accountability. Why? Pornography is a huge problem, especially on the internet. And every time we tap into the internet, we get bombarded with images and temptations that degrade our humanity. So we need Covenant Eye to block these pornographic sites and advertisements from infiltrating our lives. Covenant Eyes helps us take custody of our eyes and custody of our intellect. So I recommend you go to CovenantEyes.com and type in the promo code VMPR to support the network. Protect yourself and your family from the imminent threats on the internet. www.CovenantEyes.com, code VMPR, live porn free. Thank you for listening to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Thank you. God bless you. Keep the faith.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And here's an easy way to support us, by going to smile.amazon.com and type in Catholic Resource Center or Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And when you log in your Amazon account and you purchase products, a portion of it will go right back in supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And it doesn't cost you a dime. I want to thank you ahead of time, because that supports us year-round. May God bless you and your family.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Soul Patrol, Jesus 911, retired LA cop, retired Los Angeles County nurse. First responders. And we're teaching people Catholic spiritual warfare every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday here. This is a very unique show. I don't think there's many radio shows or podcasts that specifically deal with spiritual warfare, but here we're doing this because I believe that we're seeing the rise of Satanism, the demonic and Luciferian activity like we've never seen in the history of America. So let's go back to the Book of Tobit. We're drawing the spiritual warfare implications. Sarah, again, falsely accused, going through diabolical obsession in her mind. She's thinking about committing suicide, but then she goes into prayer mode, and look at what she prays and how she prays. She prays for a happy, holy death, and then we'll get into the actual deliverance.
Okay, here we go. Here's Sarah's prayer for death. Blessed are you, merciful God. Blessed be your holy and honorable name forever. May all your works forever bless you. Now to you, Lord, I have turned my face and have lifted up my eyes. Bid me to depart from the earth, never again to listen to such reproaches. You know, Master, that I am clean of any defilement with a man. There you go. There's Rishis. State of grace. I have never sullied my own name or my father's name in the land of my captivity. I am my father's only daughter, and he has no other child to be his heir. Nor does he have a kinsman or a close relative whose wife I should wait to become. Seven husbands of mine have already died. Why then should I live any longer? But if it does not please you, Lord, to take my life, look favorably upon me and have pity on me that I may never again listen to such reproaches.
And then we have here in the next verse the way God answers her prayer. Why? The Bible's very clear. The prayers of a righteous person have much power, James 5:16. And so your prayers are only powerful insofar as you're living in a state of grace. If you're living in wretched mortal sin, God does not hear your prayer. Okay, I wrote a whole book, I got a whole chapter on that, reasons why God doesn't listen to your prayer. If you're in unrepentant, unconfessed mortal sin, you're obstinate of heart, God does not hear your prayer. God hears her prayer. Why? She's a righteous, pious woman. And so let's look at verse 16, and let's look at what the Bible says, the way her prayer is answered by the Lord.
Okay, here we go. We continue on in chapter 3, an answer to prayer. But remember, there's three, God answers prayers in three ways. We have yes, no, or maybe. So we don't know what those are, but ultimately, whatever he answers, it's his will. So you got to remember that. You know, many of us say, oh, I've been praying for this, oh, and I don't get an answer. Well, you might have been getting an answer. He's probably saying no. Or if you get an answer immediately or in a year, he said yes. And, you know, so you have to just be patient with the Lord because he knows what is going to be best for you and for those that you're praying for. And all this is doing is making you holy. Because remember what prayer does. Prayer is reciprocal. It's reciprocal. You pray, it's going to make you more holy. You're getting the graces of prayer. Just remember that. They're not wasted prayers.
Let me mention one thing. It's a cheap plug for my book here. I got a whole chapter on why God doesn't answer prayer. Okay? So it's on page 134. It's all from the Bible. You know I'm a Bible junkie. And so you can see why God doesn't answer prayer. You got to get right with God. You have to be in a state of grace. So let's go into the answer. What the Bible says about the way Sarah's prayer, this righteous woman, the way her prayer was answered.
Yeah, state of grace, because why? We love God. Here we go. Verse 16, at that very time, the prayer both, and at, they're talking, who are the both right here? It's Tobit, the father of Tobiah, and Sarah. And we continue. Of them was heard in the glorious presence of God. Verse 17, so Raphael was sent to heal them both, to remove the white scales from Tobit's eyes, so that he might again see with his own eyes God's light, and to give Sarah, the daughter of Raguel, as a wife to Tobiah, the son of Tobit, and to rid her of the wicked demon Asmodeus,
who reject, rebuke, and renounce in Jesus' name.
For it fell to Tobiah's lot to claim her before any others who might wish to marry her. At that very moment, Tobit turned from the courtyard to his house, and Raguel's daughter Sarah came down from the upstairs room. Tobit and Sarah are praying for healing. A Liber Christo model, freedom through Christ, they become a petitioner, now asking supernatural intervention. So right now, you know, you have, when someone who is afflicted or there's an affliction, their first step in the Liber Christo model is the petitioner. I'm going to petition the church to help me for my healing. I'm going to go to the priest, and then the priest evaluates. And then once they're evaluated and they put them on a protocol, then they are now considered a penitent. So now they're starting their catechesis through prayer, through the sacraments of the church. So that's where we're at here.
Let me mention something important here about what my wife just read. Somebody put on the chat, cool, that's awesome just to have your best friend on with you. Yeah, you're right. Your spouse is your best friend. You're absolutely right. Here's what's very interesting, what my wife just read from the Bible, Book of Tobit, verse 16. That was chapter 3, correct?
Yes.
Chapter 3, verse 16. Again, Tobit and Sarah are praying, and their prayers are heard by God. Why? They're righteous people. God hears their prayers, and God grants them their petition. Now we're going to move over to chapter 6, because here's where it gets deep. This is the actual spiritual warfare where the archangel Raphael jumps in. Tobit chapter 6, verse 7. Let me read the first part, and then I'll give it to my wife to wrap it up. It says, after the two of them traveled on together till they drew near to Media, then the young man asked the angel this question. So right now, Tobias still doesn't know that Raphael is an angel. He thinks it's his brother Azariah. He says, brother Azariah, this is really Saint Raphael, the angel, who took the form of a human. What medicine is in the fish's heart, liver, and gall? Verse 8, he answered. So this is Saint Raphael, who Tobias doesn't know it's an angel yet. He answered, as for the fish's heart and liver, if you burn them to make smoke in the presence of a man or a woman who is afflicted by a demon or evil spirit, any affliction will flee and never return. So it's very interesting the way St. Raphael is telling Tobias. He says, you got to do a liturgical act. This is a liturgical prayer. Burn incense. This is very Jewish. Incense is a form of prayer that rises to heaven. Then he's also saying, you got to get this fish and you got to gut this fish. We'll talk more about that after this fish. Remember, who's depicted as a fish in New Testament art and archaeology and in New Testament basic insignia? Jesus is that ichthus, that fish that's depicted in Christian art. So St. Raphael is telling Tobias, you want to heal your father and protect your soon-to-be wife? You got to get the fish, and you got to gut this fish. Who got gutted on the cross? Jesus. And you got to take this fish, okay? This fish is a type of a sacramental that's being used to drive out the demon. This is Christ. This is a precursor of Christ. This is a type of Christ here already in the Old Testament. And the last verse that I'll pass it on to my wife, verse 9, as for the gall, if you apply it to the eyes of the one who has white scales, blowing right into them, sight will be restored. when they had entered media and were getting close to Ekbaktana. Very interesting. One of the things that an exorcist will do in the solemn exorcism, they will blow with their breath to the possessed person, and they will blow the Spirit of God to drive out the diabolical. So there's all kinds of Catholic sacramental theology at play here, but that fish is a precursor of Christ who died for our sins, who was gutted on the cross, and who heals the blind and who drives out demons. Okay, honey, chapter 8. This is the money chapter.
Yes. Okay. Here we go. Chapter 8. When they had finished eating and drinking, they wanted to retire. So they brought the young man out and led him into the bedroom. So at this point, it's they wanted to retire. They're talking about Raquel and Edna. Those are the parents of Sarah. So they brought the young man out and led him to the bedrooms. I guess that's the ritual for marriage for the Jews. It sounds like to me that the Jewish parents, the bride's parents, will take the bridegroom to the bedroom where they are to spend their wedding night. Verse 2, Tobiah, mindful of Raphael's instructions, took the fish's liver and heart from the bag where he had them and put them on the embers intended for incense. The odor of the fish repulsed the demon, and it fled to the upper regions of Egypt. Raphael went in pursuit of it and there bound it, hand and foot. Then Raphael returned immediately.
Let's stop there. Yeah, that's got a lot of Catholic implications there. The odor of the fish repulsed the demon. The odor of the fish, St. Paul says that when we preach the gospel, we're emitting the sweet aroma of Christ. That fish is a precursor of Jesus. Jesus is the ichthus in Greek, that fish. And what repulsed the demon? It's not an actual fish. Fish don't repulse demons. Jesus repulses demons. That fish is a type of Christ. Second, notice the way he engages, Tobiah engages in a liturgical act. Okay? He puts the heart and liver in a bag where he put them on the embers intended for the incense. It's the power of liturgical prayer that demons fear, because it's prayer that's ordered. It's consistent. It's the prayer of the church. It has institutional power. This is an institutional act that the demon is afraid of. And finally, Saint Raphael has the power to what? The word bind the demon. Okay? That's a term that's used in spiritual warfare. It comes to the Bible. And we'll continue. Saint Raphael, pray for us and protect us. You're listening to Jesus 911. Husband and wife team, two first responders that love the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll be right back.
Genesis 1:27 says, God created man in his own image. Male and female he created them. According to Pope St. John the 23rd, it is not true that some human beings are by nature superior and others inferior. All human beings are equal in their natural dignity. May God help us to look upon everyone as a person created in his image and likeness, and treat everyone the same without favoritism or prejudice.
Hands-on Apologetics, you have entered into Virgin Most Powerful's Apologetics Dojo, where we go wall-to-wall with defending, explaining, sharing the faith. Master Apologist Carlo Broussard. Carlo, welcome to Hands-on Apologetics.
Hey, Gary, it's great to be back in the dojo, my friend.
Master Apologist Ken Hensley, welcome to Hands-on Apologetics.
Good to see you again, Gary. Good to be with you.
Michael Barber, welcome. You have entered into the Virgin Most Powerful's Apologetics Dojo.
Gary, thanks for having me on.
We are chatting with Master Apologist Carl Keating.
Gary, it's great to be back with you.
Coming into the dojo is our good friend Steve Ray.
Thank you, Gary. Good to be here.
Tim Staples, welcome to Hands-On Apologetics.
Hey, it's great to be with you, Gary. Thanks for having me on.
Join many others in Gary Machuda's Apologetics Dojo.
We have some of the best Catholic apologists in the nation.
Streaming live weekdays from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific, Hands-On Apologetics on Virgin Most Powerful Radio.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Soul Patrol, Jesus 911. I'm here with my best friend, Anita Romero, my best friend of 36 years. We're talking about spiritual warfare. And what's powerful is that this particular book of Tobit talks about, you're going to see, we're going to give you this is the money chapter, where it talks about the power of marriage to drive out the demon. Demons fear order, cleanliness, and consistency or constancy. Demons are attracted by disorder, by a house that's unclean and a soul that's unclean, and also by no discipline, no consistency in prayer life. So Anita, wrap it up here in chapter 8 about the way this couple, Tobias and Sarah, who are righteous people according to the scriptures, how they finally drive out the diabolical. You cannot drive out a demon from your house and from your family if both of you or one of you are living in mortal sin. You just can't. You got to get right with God. And this is a perfect example right here.
And we've got to remember, we and in our liturgy, we use incense. So that's prayer raising up to heaven. And that's where we as Catholics, it's such an important aspect in our liturgy.
I'll tell you why it's so important, because incense is used in heaven right now. So if you think, like, stop using incense, that's pre-Vatican II. Are you kidding me? In the book of Revelation, they use incense in heaven to worship God. So it's not pre-Vatican II. It's still Judeo-Christian form of worship. It's liturgical warfare prayer.
Okay, I'm going to just go start again on Chapter 8, verse 3. The odor of the fish repulsed the demon, and it fled to the upper regions of Egypt. Raphael went in pursuit of it, and there bound it, hand and foot. Then Raphael returned immediately. When Sarah's parents left the bedroom and closed the door behind them, Tobiah rose from the bed and said to his wife, "My sister, come, let us pray and beg our Lord to grant us mercy and protection." There, it's so important for couples, before they go to bed, to pray together for protection.
Let me mention something also very good there. This verse is, notice it's not the woman saying, "Okay, honey, let's pray," and the guy saying, rolling his eyes, saying, "Oh, okay, let me put my laptop away or my." No, the guy saying, "Honey, let's pray." See, demons see, and they're looking. Okay. Is there order in this relationship? Oh, it's the wife calling him to prayer, and he doesn't want to pray. He's reluctant. The demons are all over. That's called retaliation. You want to invite a demon into your house? Then don't resist him. Guys, if you don't resist a demon, here's a spiritual principle from Father Ripperger. Angels come where they are called. Demons come where they're not resisted. If you're not praying, you're not calling upon your angel, and you're not raising your prayers to God like incense, and demons will not, you're not resisting the diabolical. Prayer is an act of resisting the diabolical. If you're not a praying man, you're not resisting demons, and they're all over you, they're all over your marriage, and they're all over your house.
And as a married couple, there should be two times of prayer for as a couple, one together and one alone. You have your silent time of prayer, like mine is at night. I have my little corner where I sit on the floor. I'm really simple. I sit on the floor, I put a pillow behind my back, and I have a picture of the Blessed Mother and Jesus, and it's by my nightstand, and I sit on the floor. And that's when I do my silent prayer. Before we hop in bed, Jesse and I, we do the Exilium Christianorum prayers together. so important, and we sleep soundly. And even though, although Jess and I are really different with our sleep times, he likes to sleep later. He does a lot of work at night where he does his best reading and preparation for shows. And I'm an early bird, so I go to bed early. So you need to synchronize a time together, whether it's after dinner, before you go to bed. It's so important. But anyways, here we go. Let's start with verse 5. She got up, and they started to pray and beg that they might be protected. He began with these words. So, blessed are you, O God of our ancestors. Blessed be your name forever and ever.
Yeah. Let me do it. Here's what Tobias said, okay? He took charge and he prayed. Blessed are you, O God of our ancestors. Blessed be your name forever and ever. Let the heavens and all your creation bless you forever. And I forgot the other page, okay? We don't have it right there. But the point of the matter is, it's in chapter 8, the book of Tobit. Who led the wife in prayer? It was the man. And the Bible will tell you in that chapter, you know what happens? The demon fled. The demon left. Because it was prayer power. It was the man, the husband and the wife living in a state of grace. The man led the prayer at night, and the demon fled. And they were able to consummate the marriage act. But the point of the matter is, how do you protect the family? Again, the demon enters through the portal of the man. If the man is in a state of mortal sin, this is the entrance. This is how the demon enters the family, through the husband. If the man is in a state of grace, this is how the family's protected. It's all over the Bible. You can't even argue this point. How were they protected? How did this demon finally leave Sarah, who was diabolically afflicted with 7 other husbands? She never could consummate the marriage. When does she become? Because she was already a righteous woman herself. Because you know why? She needed an Adam. She's an Eve. She's the helpmate. She needed an Adam. And when God finally provided the Adam that lived in a state of grace, she was fully protected from the diabolical. Here's a prayer that me and my wife pray in the morning and in the evening together. So we'll pray it right now. It's called in English, the soul of Christ. We try to do a lot of our prayers in Latin because it's the language of the church, and we know it has a very powerful effect against the diabolical. So when we're on together, when my wife is on with me, we will be doing the St. Michael the Archangel. Don't worry, we're going to put it on the screen the next time in Latin. So you can start learning it in Latin, and we'll end the shows also with the soul of Christ, the Anima Christi in Latin as well. This is also a prayer of protection from the diabolical. And you can also pray this prayer for other people because it's known as a deprecatory prayer. So let's pray this, honey. In the name of the Father, Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Anima Christi sanctifica me. Corpus Christi salve me. Sanguis Christi inebria me. Aqua lataris Christi lave me. Passio Christi conforta me. O boni Jesu exaudi me. Intra tua vulnera absconde me. Ne permitam me separari a te. A vostra maligno defende me. In ora mortis mea voca me. Et ubi me veneni a te. Ucum sanctis tuis laudem te. In secula seculorum. Amen. Name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's a powerful prayer of deliverance. It's called the soul of Christ. That prayer should be prayed after St. Ignatius of Loyola, who wrote it, says that prayer is a post-communion prayer, but this prayer is also used by priests in minor and major exorcisms very effectively. Anita, you got some comments?
You know, this prayer, I think I pray it maybe about 3 times a day. I pray it in the morning with my morning prayers, and then adoration after receiving communion. It's just so consoling. It's so comforting, and you feel that your soul is protected because you're asking the Lord, sanctify my soul, guard my soul. You know, you're asking the Lord to wash your soul with his blood. It's just so soothing. And I think it's, yes, absolutely, it's rich. That's a perfect word for it. So I think that's one of the prayers you want to teach your children to pray at night. There's so many prayers. I mean, like Jesse said in his book, we have our morning prayers that we prayed with our children and our evening prayers. And all these prayers are there in that book.
Let me mention one more thing about this prayer. This prayer, you could also pray over your children. I pray this. My kids don't live with me. They're all married. They're off. They're starting their own families. And what I do, I'm the husband, I'm the father. What I'll do is I raise my right hand, because I'm the father, I'm the priest over them. And I'll pray it. I'll say, and it's a deprecate, I'll say, soul of Christ, sanctify them. Body of Christ, save them. Blood of Christ, inebriate them. Water. I do that prayer in the morning over them, their marriages, their children, and in the evening, okay? It's a deprecatory prayer. My wife will pray it with me. And the fact is, we have authority, spiritual authority over our kids based on the fourth commandment. When they leave the house, you have the authority of counsel. They're going to have to make their own decisions. You can only counsel them. But you always have authority to bless them. And also, you also have authority always to pray deliverance prayers over your children. I'm looking at the chat. I think a lot of people enjoyed having my wife on with me today. She'll probably be on here most of the time with me on for a while. Eddie's out there doing some. He's busy right now with other things right now, so he's probably going to be taking some time off. So if you like this episode, I hope you liked it. My wife is one of the things about my wife is she's also been trained in spiritual warfare. We've taken courses on spiritual warfare from Father Ripperger's Institute, and we're both basically students of Father Ripperger. And we'll be here just every single, you know, first responder radio, Jesus 911, trying to share the Catholic faith and give you just practical aspects about spiritual warfare. I saw somebody on the chat talking about holy water. Absolutely. Sprinkle holy water in your house, in your bedroom often. And just a mom and dad, just a quick prayer. I bless this room in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And also you could add a deliverance prayer. And may the Lord drive out any evil spirits from this house or this bedroom. Amen. So pray blessings and pray prayers to drive out evil spirits from your house, from the kids' room, over your kids. Mom, Dad, you have the authority to do this. You see it right in the Bible, Tobit chapter 8. You have couple power here. There's more power when you pray together and you're in a state of grace. You see what happened. They drove that out a big demon. I think this demon, I don't want to mention his name, he's called the demon of lust. And so, you know, this is all over our country right now. Playboy, penthouse, hustler, etc. So that's a wrap. God bless you. Keep the faith. I think my wife probably wants to say something before we wrap it up.
Remember, prayer power. Prayer is discipline. And it's because of love for our Lord. Live in a state of grace. Because why? We love you. God bless you.
Up next, you're listening. Up next, stick around. Don't change that dial. You don't want to miss what's up. Gary Machuda, Big Gary. Hands on apologetics and the dojo. Gary is will teach you the art of how to share and defend the faith. We'll see you tomorrow. Same price time, same price channel. God bless you. Keep the faith. Viva Cristo Rey.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. O my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole Church, grant it love and the light of thy Spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great High Priest, may the power of thy mercy accompany them everywhere and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin most powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.